Chapter 4. Hated in all creation. The entertainment district was a neon jungle of constant noise and flashy stimuli, as if a moment of clarity was itself a sin. There was always something that competed to catch your attention, no matter where your head turned, and nowhere was this demonstrated the most than the very heart of the district, V Tower. Surrounding it on screens and billboards were blaring advertisements peddling the Overlord's Trio's various wares. New VoxTech Hellphones! Trust us with your communication! VoxBook! Trust us with your connections! Trust us with your information! Trust us with your entertainment! They all shared one thing in common. A sharply dressed man in a dark blue and neon pinstripe suit jacket over a striped red and black shirt who possessed a television projecting an image of a face in place of the head. The founder, leader, and mascot of VoxTech, the eponymous Vox himself. Although the majority of the advertisements and promotional material plastered around the district focused on the company's namesake, with Vox present to promote every one of his company's products, others focused on the other two Vs, his closest associates and business partners. A dark-skinned, doll demon, Velvet, featured in promotional material for clothing, perfume, accessories, makeup, and jewelry. Her domain fell on the realm of the internet and social media, rather than traditional media. And while not depicted himself, but rather his stars for the most part, the district was also adorned with posters and billboards promoting the works of the moth overlord of lust, Valentino. No, that front was also covered by Vox, who also knew what to say in front of the media. In fact, he controlled it. All three of them did. And today was one of those days. A whole crowd of reporters waited patiently in front of the elevator doors in the lobby of V Tower, which again was painted with Vox's visage. They were anticipating the arrival of the man of the hour himself, and the moment he appeared, the crowd erupted in a cacophony of camera clicks and questions. Vox straightened his posture and confidently approached them, responding with simple hand gestures. Although he tried to project an image of humbleness, he clearly reveled in the attention. My fellow demons, we at VoxTech, like many of you, witnessed the events of last year's canceled extermination live as it unfolded. It showed us that we had a fighting chance against the angels above. Turns out that all this time, we held their weakness in our grasp, angelic steel. Since we care so deeply about the well-being of you, our loyal supporters, we decided to give something back to you all. I am pleased to announce that we are in talks with Carmine Industries to bring you the power of angelic steel to you, the average demon. As part of our upcoming angelic security, you too can have a fighting chance. Before ending his obviously rehearsed press conference, Vox's left eye bulged as a spiral within it swirled. Trust us with your security. Trust us with your well-being. Vox commanded to the press, their eyes filled with the same red spirals as they, and by extension, their viewers, stood there drooling and slack-jawed, locked in a hypnotic stupor. Hotel guests and staff, old and new alike, were gathered in the lobby, awaiting what new harebrained scheme their hopelessly chipper leader, Charlie, came up with this time. The leader in question was holding a handful of tickets and band passes to her chest. With Vaggy by her side for support, she took a deep breath and made her announcement.
Well, as you all know, I recently got these, and I know firsthand that Adam's hurt a lot of us. But I figured, since I have a lesson plan on reconciliation anyway, I thought this could be a group excursion for us. Yay!
Charlie tried her best to sound enthusiastic, but unfortunately came short, just as wary of the idea as her friends were. Husk was the first to speak up.
Are you sure this is a good idea, Princess? Haven't we had enough of that asshole already? Seems we're already bringing trouble to ourselves.
The bartender brought up in concern in his usual deadpan and raspy tone before taking a sip from his whiskey bottle. Angel Dust, who was lounging inches away from the feline center, raised his hand and was the next to chime in.
What I don't get is how come Pentheus is dead, but that guy came back. We killed a lot of angels that day. What about them? Are they back too?
Angel Dust asked in sincere confusion.
I don't actually have an answer to that, and I don't think he has one either. But if angels can become demons, then maybe the opposite can happen. Possibly.
Charlie nervously chuckled.
But it's totally fine if you guys aren't comfortable with it. You don't have to go.
The princess clarified to her beloved friends.
Are you kidding, Charlie? Of course we're going. Gotta see what that prick is up to.
Cherry yelled from across the room.
Indeed, I have the perfect opportunity to observe resurrection up close, and another specimen for my thesis that redemption is impossible.
Baxter said in an eccentric and condescending tone, earning a collective groan from the rest of the group, all except for one.
Ooh, I like it when you talk like that!
Nifty, who was already sitting uncomfortably close to the deep-sea scientist, scooched even closer to him while giving an absolutely filthy look with her singular eye.
Hey, Charlie, what have you got there?
Lucifer popped up right next to his daughter and examined what she had in her hands, placing a finger to his chin as he squinted his eyes and did an exaggerated,
Oh, a concert. Haven't been to one of those in a while. Showman to showman, I'd like to see what he's got,
Lucifer said in a smug tone. Charlie tried to keep the situation from getting out of hand.
Dad, I don't think that's a good idea,
only to be quickly interrupted.
Wonderful, let's go.
The king and ringmaster of hell immediately replied.
Sure, Dad.
Charlie sighed in exasperation and defeat as the rest of the hotel gang chatted amongst themselves, while her father wrapped his arm around her, smiling like an idiot. Charlie looked at the address on the tickets, then up to her current location, wondering if she went to the right place. Surely enough, the racket inside and banners strewn about confirmed that it was. Charlie showed the gatekeeper the backstage passes and tickets she received from Adam, who she still had complicated feelings about, and walked in, while Vaggy led the rest of the group in. The venue this time was in the middle of a junkyard near the Doomsday District, which was a bit unconventional, but the idealistic princess was open to new things, especially since they really cleaned up the place for this event.
All right, people, stick together. We gotta stay as a group. Wait, where the fuck did they go?
Vaggy commanded the hotel members, only to immediately lose them in the crowd, leaving only her, Charlie, and Lucifer, who insisted on attending. As the girls frantically searched for their friends amidst the rambunctious chaos of the concert, Lucifer was less than amused. He cautiously walked around the repurposed junkyard, wincing in disgust at everything around him. Heads, organs, and bodies flew across the air as sinners beat each other senseless. The fallen seraph's face scrunched in disapproval. This was free will? This is what his dreams amounted to? It had been a while since the king had been out and left his workshop, much less interacted with his people, as his beautiful, adorable daughter called them, and he now remembered why that was. Oh, this was going to be rich. In front of him near the stage were two pale, half-naked sinner women, to put it generously, going at each other like stray cats. Both of them wore poorly made effigies of exorcist masks made of cardboard, the type humans wore at Halloween. One of them shoved the headstock of a prop guitar up the snatch of her friend. It was made in homage of Adam's old guitar, and it wasn't even made well. The thing was hastily spray-painted and drawn on with a Sharpie and cheap styrofoam to give it a harp shape. Lucifer could conjure something better in 3 seconds, and he'll prove it.
Hey, idiots! Have a gander at this!
With a snap of his finger and a flash of light, a perfect one-to-one replica of the first douchebag's beloved guitar formed in the Ringmaster of Hell's gloved hand as he handed it to the two degenerates.
Thanks, dude,
was the slack-jawed response he received as they resumed fornicating right in the middle of the concert. This is what folks were into nowadays, Lucifer thought. He wasn't cut out for this. He had never been cut out for this. Why did he decide to come again? His musing was interrupted as a snake-mouthed sinner charged at him with his grubby hands, prompting Lucifer to push him away with his cane to keep him at a distance. Things were so much better when Lilith was still around. He hoped his little girl was having a better time. Satan knows he'll never let her go to these alone again.
Guys! Guys! Where are you?
Charlie called out into the sea of people, fighting not to be drowned out by the crowd's sheer racket, trying to at least find someone there. Until she heard a familiar voice.
Whee! Nifty!
Curled into a ball and being punted across the air was the tiny, hyperactive and deranged housekeeper of the hotel, who seemed to be enjoying herself. Acting quickly, Charlie cut through a crowd which included a small red demon straddling a donkey-headed demon while on fire. She caught Nifty in her arms, who was still absent-mindedly smiling, as if she was playing a demented form of catch.
Nifty, where are the others?
Charlie asked her in a panic. The pint-sized cyclops, still in a state of mania, gave an immediate, albeit scatterbrained answer.
Oh, the kitty is over there, and I think the bad boy went over there. Unhand me, you dolts! Ah!
To Charlie's left, Baxter was grabbed by a group of perverted sinners, their eyes full of sinister intent, being dragged off for unspeakable reasons.
Don't worry! I'll save you!
Nifty screeched out, cackling as she dashed knife in hand towards the anguished Baxter.
Oh, no!
The pint-sized, self-proclaimed scientist yelled in panic, his eyes wide with fear as Nifty approached him. As that was dealt with, Charlie refocused her attention on Husk, who was currently chugging an entire barrel of alcohol as a crowd chanted, "Chug, chug, chug, chug!" over and over again.
Husk, what are you doing?
Vaggie asked in annoyance, only for Husk to raise his hand at her, imploring her to wait for an explanation. As he drank the last sip of liquor, a four-horned, three-eyed demon handed him a wad of cash.
They, bet that I couldn't drink all of this in one go, but they can suck it.
The feline sinner slurred in intoxication, proceeding to collapse on the spot.
Husk, are you serious? You couldn't help yourself even for a second.
Vaggie looked down and scolded the half-conscious bar cat. Unfortunately, she so happened to be standing in a line of sinners orally passing around a wisping red smoke from a bong, and it just so happened to be her turn. An alpaca man kissed the former exterminator right on the mouth to pass the smoke along. Vaggie wobbled a bit before puking right then and there.
Dude, you're not supposed to inhale the entire thing,
was the lazy response from the aforementioned sinner, as Vaggie collapsed to her knees, profusely shaking as her pupils dilated to the maximum. Charlie rushed to her girlfriend's aid, as Vaggie stood there, incapacitated and delirious, only making, sounds every few seconds. Just as she was helping her up, Angel Dust came in the scene, with a shell-shocked look on his face, using his forearms to hug himself.
Angel, where's Cherry?
Charlie asked her first-ever guest. The arachnid sinner's reply was,
"Trust me, you don't want to know."
He lacked the usual coy, effeminate shrill to his voice, so she knew he wasn't kidding. As they rounded up most of the hotel gang, her father appeared right behind her, leaning on his cane in a puff of gold dust.
Charlie! There you are! You wouldn't believe the time I just had.
Man, these people are crazy! You're totally okay, right, Charlie? They didn't hurt my little girl, right?
Because if they did...
Lucifer asked, inches away from completely smothering Charlie despite his smaller stature.
No, Dad, I'm fine, really.
Charlie assured her father, prompting him to give her some space. It was just then that they heard a soft fiddle melody play across the venue and turned around to realize they were in front of the stage. Johnny was playing a slow, somber song on his shining gold fiddle, which was engraved with a serpent curling around an apple at the bottom. Adam was joining in too with his guitar. As he began to sing, the crowd of sinners calmed down and stopped whatever it was they were doing as their music reached them, swaying to the tune. They were all in a happy, soothing trance, all except a gaggle of female fans directly in front of Adam's line of sight. They were as deranged as ever. All were topless, with
"I love you, Adam," carved on their pale chests. He would be flattered if they didn't scare him so much. One of them was staring directly at him, eyes hidden under her bangs. She had forearms, one pair monstrously oversized, while a more normal pair was almost hidden underneath. She was profusely masturbating with her lower set of arms, one hand in her crotch, the other digging around in her rectum. One of the larger arms clutched a life-sized Adam doll. It was an unfortunately lumpy, deformed, handmade thing, haphazardly repaired and covered in stains, all while she grunted, her remaining arm banging on the floor completely offbeat. He needed to tell one of his roadies to keep her far, far away from him. Some tried to grab him on stage, but he nonchalantly kicked them away, having been through this too many times. Lucifer was looking at him with skepticism during his performance, one hand under his porcelain chin, deep in thought. The moment the song was over, the sinners went right back to the rambunctious debauchery they were doing before. It was then that Adam spotted the hotel gang in the crowd, his proud smile dropping immediately as he saw who was among them. "Fucking seriously, girlie, you brought him along?" Adam yelled in frustration, pointing towards Lucifer, who flew up to greet him. "So, this is what you've been up to lately. Fallen on hard times, buddy. Gotta say you're looking worse for wear." Lucifer mocked him, wearing the smuggest, shit-eating leer. "You? Of all people judging me, you're literally the first fallen!" Adam shrieked in frustration, his voice wavering. "You best get on and get, you fork-tongued snake sucker, unless you want to lose another bet." Johnny chimed in, sneering at his most hated musical rival, waving around the fiddle to emphasize his point. "Oh, John C. Daniels." Lucifer literally hissed in pure contempt, his wounded pride having never recovered from that fateful day. "I don't care who you are, you're gonna eat my shit!" Gigi yelled from the stage, making hand gestures to communicate that he would make good on his promise. "Charming! Quite the ensemble you got there, Adam." Lucifer simply shrugged his shoulders and tipped his hat in a mock bow. "In any case, you're in my kingdom now, so allow me to introduce you to your new eternal home," the King of Hell offered, not once losing the smug tone in his voice. Adam was dangerously agitated, the type of agitation that made him ominously close to doing something stupid. "Fuck you, you clown-faced midget! I'm gonna wipe that smile off your face, 'cause I'm still the first fucking man!" Adam was interrupted mid-rant by loud booing from his audience. "Wait, what?" Adam looked in shock, confusion and astonishment as the crowd threw rocks at Lucifer to chants of, "Lucifer sucks!" A smile formed on Adam's face as he got an idea. Adam backed up the chants with a power cord, which only encouraged them as they switched from rocks to pelting Lucifer with rotten food and garbage. He played an impromptu song number, making up the lyrics as he went along. "Lucifer totally sucks, you motherfucker! Lucifer totally sucks! Lucifer, Morningstar, devil indeed! He ruined all creation with his own greed!" "Wait, hold on now!" Lucifer pleaded to the crowd, only to be met with a barrage of garbage. They even went so far as to toss the entire bin at him. As the song continued, more and more sinners were whipped into a frenzy. They searched the junkyard for more scraps to throw at the humiliated king. Soon condoms, random junk, and human feces, courtesy of Gigi, were thrown at him. At one point, a small flaming sinner with knives in each hand was tossed at the fallen angel. The crowd tore up the place to get their hands on more things to throw at Lucifer. Soon the rambunctious audience was as wild as ever, all fear ceasing as they united in hatred and song like a mysterious aura overtook them as Adam sang and played his guitar. Lucifer was covered in layers of muck and junk as more was thrown at him and sinners continued to mob him. He flew into the air to escape them, but they refused to cease. Now he was livid. A ball of hellfire erupted from where Lucifer was burning off the filth off his clothes, as if it was never there. Crimson horns grew from his temples, and his eyes glowed red.
His tailcoat and bow tie became dotted with infernal eyes. His tail appeared from beneath it, and an Ouroboros in place of a halo appeared above his head as he grit his sharp teeth in anger.
All right, enough! Don't forget who you're messing with!
The enraged devil raised his arms, ready to conjure an inferno large enough to torch the entire concert, until a voice rang out from the crowd.
Dad! Stop! Just calm down!
His beloved daughter Charlie called out from below, snapping him out of it, making him realize she and her friends were in the blast radius. Lucifer went out of demon form as he turned to embrace his daughter.
I don't know what came over me, Shar-Shar.
The moment completely interrupted by obnoxious laughter coming from the stage, making him sneer back in hate.
Holy shit! I said you were the most hated being in all creation, but fuck!
Adam could barely contain himself from howling in laughter and amusement at this turn of events.
And you, Adam pointed towards Charlie. Fuck you and fuck your stupid hotel!
Causing the princess to grimace at him. Her father was about to charge at him until she backed him down.
Dad, let's just go home,
Charlie sadly suggested to her father. A rotten apple was tossed at his head just as she said it, and something was thrown into his mouth. He was about to snap at whoever threw it until he saw what it was. A little rubber ducky crudely customized to look like Adam. Lucifer discreetly put it into his pocket, intending to work on it later. Today was a complete disaster. Nothing went right, and for the first time, Charlie felt afraid of her own people, the guilt of which made her stomach churn. Adam went from being dismissive to being outright hostile to the hotel, and with his newfound power over her people, this did not bode well. Charlie took one last look back. Adam had his arms stretched out like a deacon during Mass as he soaked in the praise and adulation of the crowd. His eyes glowed ominously in the distance, and his teeth stretched into a sinister smile.
That was fun! We should go again!
The scatterbrained housekeeper of the hotel suggested as they left, only to get a melancholy reply of,
Oh, Nifty,
from Charlie as she gave the diminutive little psycho a smile. Meanwhile, back at the hotel, while he did not join the rest of the hotel in attendance, Alistair listened to the commotion of the concert on his radio with interest.
What an entertaining turn of events.
Vox sat in the chair of his monitoring room, his screens displaying different footage centered around a singular object. On one monitor was Adam's victorious fight against Alistair, on another was a previous concert of Adam's, and on a third was his very public confrontation with Lucifer at his latest concert.
Vox, do you see this shit? The wanker is trending everywhere,
his associate Velvet informed him.
Wait, he's back?
Valentino exclaimed, looking at his phone, getting an annoyed response from Velvet.
Yes, you bloody idiot! We've been tracking the knobhead since he debuted!
Valentino once again turned to Vox for clarification.
So, cariño, what do you think of this? Val, I think we found just the guy we need.
Vox's right eye swirled once again as he grinned ear to ear at the possibilities. He put an arm over both of his partners as the three V's let out a maniacal cackle.